2020. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you this evening. We were lost and now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. We were dead people walking around, dead in trespasses and sins. And you delivered our soul. You moved on our heart and we knew that we needed Jesus. And Lord, not only did we know we needed him, but we wanted him, Lord. We came willingly. We came lovingly because he came to us lovingly. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your love and mercy, your goodness. Thank you for the ones in here tonight. Thank you for those other two classes going on in the back. Lord, tonight we praise you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for those bricks that were sold this week. Lord, we didn't sell them. You sold them. You laid it on somebody's heart. And God, I pray you continue to help us, Lord, to build this building debt-free, get our parking lot graded and looking good and smoothed out. And so, Father, and other things that need to be done, just guide and direct, Lord, supply every need, Lord, tonight. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl here tonight. I pray for God those requests again that have been prayed for tonight, that you'd provide those needs, Lord. Thank you, that little fellow that got hit by the car was not hurt in the morning what he was, Lord. Your word says safety of the Lord, God. And so thank you, Father. We bless you tonight. Save the lost, and God, revive the saved. Heal the sick, comfort the bereaved, the grieving, the hurting. Lord, tonight, be with folks that cannot be here for whatever reason, maybe working or like with Amy going to school or other situations and issues, or maybe sick young as at home and whatever, Lord. We just pray you'd be with them. And now, Holy Spirit, would you help this preacher tonight? Would you touch these clay lips and help me to say what you'd have me to say? Would you touch every heart, mine included, especially mine, Lord, and encourage us in the Lord tonight? Lord, just speak to us, Holy Spirit. Come on and work in us and work on us and through us, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice, if you would, Proverbs 20:20 again. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. I'm not as bad as I was when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, I was scared of the dark. I mean, anybody, come on, be honest. Thank you, the rest of you. You know, you go home tonight and repent. But I was, amen. I was scared of the dark, amen. Partly because my sister, I'd go to the bathroom and she'd be hiding in one of the bedrooms, coming down the dark hallway, and just, I'd get there and she'd jump out at me and just scare me to death. And I remember one time she locked me out on the back porch and it was dark outside, locked the door, and she's standing there at the door laughing, and had a big old glass in it about like this here, this glass, and in the back door, and I'm standing there hollering, and I hitting that door, and I howled at once, I hit that glass, and boy, that glass went everywhere, and my daddy tore her up, amen, amen, but that just thrilled her to death, scaring me. Amen. I remember when I was a boy, we lived about a mile from the graveyard. Now, you can believe one thing, friend. When I rode by that graveyard at night on my bicycle, I was moving. Amen. I was moving, man. It was dark. We were out in the country. It was dark. And I was scared to death. Amen. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The Bible teaches us that hell is darkness, even though it's a lake of fire. It's darkness. The Bible teaches that men without Christ are blind and they're walking in darkness. Think about yourself before you got saved. Thought you were on the right track. Thought you had the world by the tail. Thought you knew everything. And come to find out you was in darkness and didn't know anything. Amen. Amen. You sound like you've been where I've been. Amen. Amen. The book of Jude, I read that this today or last night actually. It teaches that false teachers are in darkness. I had a fella call me yesterday. He sounded like he was about 65 and maybe had a stroke. In other words, he sounded a lot like me. He said, one of your men came by and passed out some of your brochures about your church. And he said, I wanted to know if I'd be welcome there. And I said, sir, anybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome at Harvest Baptist Church. And he began to talk to me about this and that and the other. He said, well, what do you believe about the Mormons? I said, I believe they're deceived. They're good moral people. I believe they're deceived. He said, well, what do you think the Mormons believe about Jesus? I said, well, they believe Jesus was created and they believe he was the brother of Satan. And I said, that's not what the Bible says. He began to tell me how David, a king, after God's own heart, had committed adultery and murder. And he told me, he said, David went to hell, what he said. Finally, I asked him, I said, sir, if you died, would you go to heaven? He said, you can't know you're going to heaven till you die. He said, I've been a Mormon for 40 years. A Mormon for 40 years and don't know that he's going to heaven when he died. That's sad, folks. But he's in darkness. He's in darkness. Religion has got him in darkness. Proverbs 20:20, we see a child that curseth his father or his mother. The Bible says his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness, deep darkness. You take a child that will not listen to their parents, will not listen to their instructions. You take a child that will not obey their commands of their parents. That child will eventually come to a point of cursing their parents, regardless of what God's word says. By the way, that child has a good chance to be sentenced to the death penalty. Think about it. Children, obey your parents, the Bible says, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. A child that disobeys and disrespects their parents curses their mother, their father, has a good opportunity to be sentenced to an early death. Lest the roll off, he's dead now. Some of you heard him. I know some of you heard of him and heard him. Great preacher. But he said he always felt like he would die early death because when he was a kid, he disobeyed and disrespected his parents. I buried a young boy a few years ago. His mother had told him and his brother was out by the road, and his mother told him and his brother, his brother was older, but she said, "Now boys, stay out of the road. Don't get in that road. If the ball goes across the road, let it go, but don't go across that road." And I got a call. He had been hit and killed following his older brother. His older brother, the ball went across the road and his older brother went to get it. When his older brother turned around, he looked and saw his younger brother coming. He was just about 6 or 7 years old and hit by a car and killed. He may still be living today, but he disobeyed his mama. You may not believe it, but it's true. I wonder how many teenagers commit suicide because they are rebellious. They will not listen to their parents. Young people, it's natural for a young person to be affectionate. Young people, you ought to be affectionate to your parents. You ought to listen. You ought to be thankful for what your parents have done. Sometimes, young people, you just need to obey your parents, not because you love them or because you feel like it or because you're grateful, but because God said to obey your parents. Honor your parents. I've got some ball of us here, so bear with me. He said the lamp will be put out in obscure darkness. Young people that live lives of rebellion are miserable. They make their parents miserable. Amen. They make the whole family miserable. And you folks have agreed, and you've heard me say it, them older ones can hurt you as bad or worse than them younger ones. When it comes to being hurting your heart, hurting your soul. These young people, they don't have peace of mind. These young people that curse and disrespect their parents, they'll not prosper. These young people that disobey their parents and dishonor their parents will drive their parents away and drive the family away. And if they live long enough, one day their kids will do the same thing to them. That's what bothers me. Because I remember disobeying and being disrespectful to my mama. I remember that. I wrote down three things. Why do so many kids walk in darkness? And our young people's in a mess today. They really are. And we can't even imagine what they're going through. We can't even imagine what they're going through. We had a lady that came here. She wasn't a member, but she came some. Her son, he was, first time they came, his hair was pink. Young teenage boy, his hair was pink. And a few weeks after they started coming, his name was one thing, but he told some of the workers, he said, "No, that's not my name. My name is this." And he called a girl's name. He called a girl's name and said, "That's my name." And his mama sent word about a month ago, said, "Tell..." They were picking him up on the van, and she told these men that pick him up, said, "If he comes, I'll bring him," and hadn't bring him back. But the sad thing is, his daddy, who is a grown man, long distance truck driver, cross dresses. I mean the whole deal, dress, hair, makeup, the whole deal. And we wonder why that young boy, just 12 or 13, said, "No, that's not my name. My name is this girl's name." And God only knows what is going to happen to that boy. And he got a pretty little old sister about 3 or 4 years old, just as precious as she can be. And my thought is, what in the world is going to happen to her? And folks, it's going on everywhere. It's everywhere. Why are so many kids walking in darkness? I wrote down three things. Look in Exodus chapter 20. I know the Lord gave me this thought. I was looking at my wife. We were sitting there last night. She said, what you teaching on the morning? I said, Proverbs. And I knew it was in Proverbs 20. And she said, "Well, what are you teaching?" And I got the thing. And I said, why don't I read it? And just kind of get some thoughts. And I read Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." But that's not what got my attention. Look in verse 1, Exodus chapter 20. This is the Ten Commandments here. "And the Lord spake all these words, saying, I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Notice, "thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, in the earth beneath, or what is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." But here's what captured my attention. "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy in the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." I wrote down three things. Number one, lack of teaching is why so many young people are walking in darkness. Lack of teaching. Let me say this tonight. No matter how you as a kid or a teenager or adult was raised, if you are saved, You need to break the chain of how you were raised and get the word, God's word, is primary in your life. My wife now, my first wife, we got married and boy, I had a bad home life. But I used to think mine wasn't so bad when I married her, because hers were too off the chart. Never met her daddy till she was 30. Didn't even know her name. And I won't go into detail to tell you all that she saw as a little girl coming up with her mom and her boyfriends. And I won't tell you about all the times that her and her brothers were hungry while the dog went to the poodle parlor and got her hair cut and fixed and the kids hungry. I told people this years ago. I used to say when we got married, we were like we was in the bottom of the ninth inning, two outs, full count. We had one swing to get it right. But thank God that before we got married, we were saved. Thank God before we got married. Thank God, listen, I got saved when I was 19. I was 25 before I got married. I used to say, Lord, I need to get married. I want to be married. But I wasn't ready to get married. And for those 5 or 6 years of living a single life, I got my head screwed on straight. A little bit about how to raise youngins. Amen? A little bit how to raise youngins. I knew I was going to raise them in church. I knew we was going to serve Jesus. If we were going to put him first, if there's any way possible, he was going to be number one. And when her and I got married, that was our desire, to raise our kids for Jesus, raise them according to the Bible, whatever that meant. Usually meant going to church every time the doors were open. It meant wearing them out when they needed it. Amen. It meant praying together, reading the Bible together, having family devotion. Notice what he said. He said, visit the iniquities of father upon the fathers of the children of, to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Listen, just because we were raised wrong don't mean we have to raise our kids wrong. And let me say this, our grandkids. I got grandyoungers all over the place. Where's Millie? She's back there. Got one over there, one there, and two there, and two down here, one over there, two homesick. And the other six are there in church, I hope, somewhere tonight. Well, most of them are anyway. But what I'm saying is that just because we were raised that way don't mean we got to raise our kids that way and got to raise our grandkids that way. You listen to me, girl. You young girls, you better not be courting some old deadbeat. Somebody don't love Jesus. Amen. Amen. You won't get me mad. Just be dating them old deadbeats. Amen. They don't even know Jesus. And I spell his name. Miss Liz, know him. Amen. Listen. We can raise our kids no matter how we were raised. I got a book I gave a fellow Sunday. He's a member of our church, him and his wife. They got three precious young ones. He's in the army. He had to leave Sunday after Sunday school because they had to go to work. Because, you know, they're cranking up out there. You know that, don't you? But I gave his wife the book. It's entitled Raising Godly Children in an Ungodly World by Ken Ham. Ken Ham is the fellow that built that Noah's Ark up there in Kentucky. If you ever get a chance, you ought to go see it. My wife and I, we've been. You ought to go. Amen. Good stuff. I read that book. I read about half of it. I said, wow, this is old-fashioned. Old-fashioned Word of God. He talks about his mom and daddy from Australia and how they were Christian people and how they raised their youngins according to the Bible. And I gave that fella that copy of that book Sunday, and I ordered five more this afternoon to give away. I told Penny I was going to sell them to $10 a piece, but I wound up giving them away because I want people to have them. I want my youngins to have them. If they don't ever read the stupid thing, at least they'll have them. They'll find out that somebody is old-fashioned than their daddy about God and serving God and reading the Bible and studying the Bible and praying and going to church. Just because you were raised ungodly don't mean you have to raise your family ungodly. I thank God that I didn't get married when I wanted to. I thank God I didn't have youngins when I wanted to. Listen, number one, lack of teaching. Lack of teaching. Tell them, folks. Tell them. That's another point. But then Proverbs 22:6, you all know what it says. What's it say? Help me. Proverbs 22:6. Anybody? The way he should go is when he's old and not depart from it. Not only the lack of teaching, but a lack of training. That word train means to guide or control the mental or moral development. It means to bring up. It means to rear. I took our dog out this morning. Well, she's Miss Janie's dog, but she's my dog. And she's actually, we're her service. Okay. She's the dog, but we're the service. Okay? I took her out this morning, and she did what she usually does. She walked around a little bit over here and over there. Then she done part of her business. And then she decided to walk toward the back of the property there. And then she done the rest of her business. You know what thought I had was this? You know what my thought was? That stupid dog, sorry, Miss Janie. That stupid dog had been trained better than most kids on this planet. She used to be used to pee-pee pads all the time. She don't do that anymore. She does it once in a while, but she don't do it anymore because we about trained her. Hey, all right, we're going out. It's time to go. Or once in a while, she'll let us know when she wants to go out. Not very often, especially if it's cold outside or raining. She's funny, boy. She get down to the bottom of her steps and she'd do her business real quick and get back in the house. But lack of training. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Listen, this don't mean you have to stay with the kids every moment. You ought to show them, instruct them, you ought to let them, and you ought to expect them to do it just like you showed them. And then if you have to, correct them and praise them and maybe reward them. But train them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from him. Paul, he's pretty smart. I think he got that from his granddaddy, his papa. No, he didn't either. Yeah. I'm not going to embarrass him, but Paul did something. I knew he did it when I saw it. I didn't see him do it, but when I saw it, I knew he did it. We've got 18 kids back there, but I knew he did it. I knew it. And Miss Sue and I were talking, and she said, yeah, Paul did it. After that. I went up to him yesterday. I said, son, you're a smart kid. And he is. Terry used to teach him in Sunday school. He'd be in Sunday school. He wouldn't quit talking. He wouldn't quit looking around. He'd do everything in the world but listen, but he answered every question. Knew the answer, just like that. I said, Paul, son, you're a smart kid. I want you to start thinking with your brain about things you do. Things you do. Start thinking about what you're doing. That's part of training. It's part of training. And it never stops. Amen. My daddy didn't teach me, and my mama didn't teach me to say yes sir, no ma'am, and yes sir, the first time. They did that every stinking day. And I get tired of it. But we're just going to stick with it. It's part of training. Train up a child the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Correct them, praise them, reward them. But I say this, I wouldn't reward them for doing every little thing. Maybe once a week, reward them. But I wouldn't reward them for doing every little thing. Because, hey, you shouldn't be, Jesus taught this, that you shouldn't be rewarded for doing what you're supposed to do. Amen? And if you give them a little something every time they do something, they're going to grow up thinking, every time I do something, I'm going to get something. No. You just might keep your job if you do it. Amen? That's your reward. Lack of training, lack of teaching. And then real quickly, lack of telling. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 13:1a. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. My daddy's biggest instruction for my life was don't get in trouble with the law. Amen. I wish he had said more, but I racked my brain and couldn't think of one other thing my daddy ever instructed me on. He instructed me, don't get in trouble with the law, but I could not think of anything else he ever instructed me on. I'm not saying it wasn't there, but I just couldn't remember. Listen, don't be afraid to give your kids and grandkids instruction. Now let me say this, because I got grown youngins and most of y'all got grown youngins. How many got grown youngins? Amen. How many had grown youngins when they was 12? Yeah, they thought. They thought. You have to really be careful when they're grown. But even then, there may be times that you're supposed to say something in a kind, loving way and say, hey, I ain't preaching to you. Amen? I ain't trying to be ugly. I ain't trying to be unkind. But you need to, whatever it is. And hey, you can say this. Say, I'll never say nothing else about it. You'll never hear it from me again unless you ask. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. That's part of encouraging. That's part of exhorting one another. The Bible says exhort one another daily. Pray about it. Pray about it. I got some things I need to say, but I'm praying about it. And I feel like at the right time, I'll be able to say what I need to say. They may not buy it. They may say, hey, you're old man. I don't care what you think. That's their prerogative. They're grown. They're paying their bill. As long as they're paying their bill, that makes me pretty happy right there. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Young person, let me ask you a question. Are you walking in darkness? He that curseth his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Mamas, daddies, grandma, and grandpa, let me ask you a question. Are you letting your kids or grandkids walk in darkness? Are you enabling them to walk in darkness? I want to read this and I'm through. Got about 2 minutes. Now is the time to choose. Listen to Joshua 24:15. You've heard this verse. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Did you get that? That's what Joshua said to Israel. He didn't call them. I've heard parents say, well, we asked the kids what they wanted to do. I ain't never asked the young'un what they wanted to do. Amen. I hardly ever ask them what they want to eat. Amen. Amen. I don't want them to be spoiled brat like I was, get what they want. Amen. This new year presents us with a great opportunity to make some fresh choices. Will we serve the old God because it's popular? We are weak and without witness because some of the old gods still sit on the shelves of our hearts. Will we choose the gods of those around us, the gods of the Amorites in whose land we dwell, and so be like everybody else? Or will we choose to serve the Lord? Be assured it will not just happen. We will have to make choices. When the year is over, may we look back and blame people. We may look back and blame people, places and things for our failure. But in reality, the fault will lie in our poor choosing. We are creatures of choice, not chance. Let us choose this day to serve the Lord. Come what may, cost what it will, We cannot go wrong making right choices. Young people, you'll never go wrong obeying your parents, doing what they say, respecting them, honoring them. By the way, we need to teach them that. They weren't born, that weren't in their brain when they were born. Amen? Drill it into them. Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Honor your parents. Dr. Ralph Richardson said, Josh was standing there, and Dr. Ralph said, "Is that boy obeying you?" I said, "He don't have to. He's a grown man. But he does have to honor me. Whether he agrees with me or not, he does have to honor me. That never changes." Amen. Why does God so many dwelling in darkness? Lack of teaching, training, lack of telling them what they need to be doing. Let's pray. Father, bless your word tonight.